Now, we are joined in the studio by today's guest, Lara Sweetman. Say hello, Lara.
Kia ora, everybody.
And we are joined on the telephone by Rob Mokarako. Can you hear me, Rob?
I can hear you, brother.
Can you hear him, Lara?
I can hear you, Rob.
Fantastic. We're all good to go. Thanks very much for joining us on the show today, Rob. Really appreciate it, man.
I appreciate your time, brother. Really do.
Yeah, and whereabouts are you in the world today?
Well, I'm just near Whangarei. Well, pretty much in Whangarei. Just pulled over for this interview.
Ah, nice. What you doing up north?
Well, I'm from up north. My youngest daughter lives up here. My whānau live up here, and I'm going for a meeting actually. So I'm all good in the hood, and it's to do with mental well-being and addiction. So just living and breathing what we're about to talk about.
Ah, fantastic, man. Yeah, all right. And before we get into this, I will say that Lara can say maybe even you're coming to beautiful Whangarei not once but twice.
Yes, thanks to Lara Sweetman and her team of amazingness.
Yeah. Yep, so we've got the Shop Bro show presented by Rob Mokarako on, we've got two events. We've got one for the senior school at Raglan Area School on the 1st of November. It's a Wednesday. And then,
and that's for parents as well, Lara, that one?
Parents can join.
Yep.
And there's going to be a whole host of support services on site available. And then we've got a second one, which is a community event on the 4th of November, starting at 2 p.m. from Raglan Area School Hall. But prior to that, we've got the Raglan Hauora Hikoi, which is around the Three Bridges, which is just really a walk trying to start the talk and normalise the conversation around mental health.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lara. And, yes, have you been to a beautiful Whangarei before, Rob?
Look, I haven't been there for a long time, and it was just to go to try my clumsy skills at surfing. lucky nobody filmed or took photographs. It was terrible. But, yes, it's been a while.
All right. Well, we're all very much looking forward to you coming here, Rob. And, yet again, thanks for joining us today. And, it'll be a great thing. And, I guess I'll start this interview, Rob, because, you know, you've been a long time on the stage doing plays and movies and things like that, I guess. When did you first start getting into, acting and even co-writing and things like that?
Well, to be fair, bro, my mum said I've been acting up from a very young age. but I was interested in that. I took up acting and writing course up in Whangarei way back. It's been so long. Late mid-90s. But, brother, acting and writing and producing, it's another form of trying to express yourself.
Yeah.
Expressing yourself outside of your family unit where you're not going to be judged. Let's be honest about that.
Okay, so it's been a lifelong sort of interest. And, you've been at a number of sort of award-winning sort of productions. You want to tell us a bit about those ones?
I've been very grateful to be a part of awesome teams and awesome stories that resonate with me. With Witiihi Maira, which a very famous New Zealand novelist.
Yes.
He converted one of his works into a theatre show about World War One, and that won some prizes and some awards, and I just happened to be a part of that, one of the team. There has been some films, but, you know, there are only a tiny bit of films. I wouldn't say I'm a film star or a film monster. It's mainly been theatre, and I've been lucky enough to dive into a little bit of television and film in the past. But due to my mental and spiritual breakdown in 2009, which we'll probably get to,
we will.
I gave that all up afterwards, and now my lifelong mission is to help communities and organisations around Australasia to provide safe spaces to address mental distress and suicide prevention.
Very nice. And I need to ask, did you ever turn up on Shortland Street?
No, well, I never reached those dizzying heights, brother. So I never got there.
Oh, well, you know. Yeah, maybe in a few years, I mean, who knows, Rob, eh?
Maybe,
yeah,
bro. Yeah, one day, though, I might need someone to bring on some oranges or something.
Yeah, yeah. And so you talk about, so it was all going well in the theatre and that, and then I don't know, did something happen, Rob, or it was a slow creep of something, or?
Absolutely. It's like, so, yes, on the outside, and I say this in my presentation, so first of all, the theatre show is more like a theatre presentation seminar.
Mm.
So just to be clear what the community is going to get, and then followed by the seminar, theatre show is a forum, which is the most healing part of the entire experience, followed by food. But, sorry, now I got lost. Go back to that question again. It's all connected.
Yes, the question was kind of, you know, you were doing your thing, living your life, and then you had, was it one thing, or was it a slow creep, or when did you sort of realise that your mental health was sort of declining a little, Rob, shall we say?
Look, to be honest, brother, it was always zigzagging anyway. Mm. And part of that is I didn't realise that wasn't normal, or it is normal for somebody in mental distress.
Mm. Mm.
So when you don't know what you've got, you just think your everyday life or fight or flight is normal.
Yeah.
So I suppose it was a slow creeper. That's a great way of putting it, brother. And it was building for a while, and I didn't know what was wrong, and I was in a tumultuous relationship. Nobody's fault, just two people with no skills to unpack their own past trauma.
Mm.
And it was intense, tumultuous, so I tried to exasperate that and make that implode, and I did. And in my seminar, I talk about how I imploded it by going to increase the trauma and sleep with another woman, which increased the trauma within the relationship, which was already traumatic. So we broke up, and my own internal demons were saying, I knew you were a piece of crap, Rob. And of course, the person I was with who split up with me, she rightly so, she was amplifying that as well, but she was only amplifying what was already going around in my mind. So that was just the surface. So you've got to understand what's happening right there is the surface trigger to a deeper problem, which I was unaware of. So I wanted to be dead, and I wanted the pain in my mind to stop. The surface stuff, yes, was affecting me. I didn't realize how deep down in my family history and my personal history the seed was buried. Hmm. And so on that day, I called the police upon myself. I provoked the police, and it's very clear, I provoked them to shoot me dead. And I scared them so much on that day that they shot me in the chest at close range. Wow. And I'm supposed to be dead on July 27th, 2009.
Wow.
But I am blessed to have a second chance at life, thanks to many good people in my life who believed in me to go and help others who have been as distressed like myself or getting near that place.
Mm-hmm. Well, man, some story. Yeah, okay, so you rang the police on yourself there, and that was just the last thread, right, was it?
Yeah, I just thought and I've said this on other interviews, and I'll say it again. It's that we've got, for people in mental distress, they've got a very negative Spotify playlist that's on repeat in their mind.
Yeah,
and a lot of people won't admit that, and mine just amplified.
Wow,
mine amplified, brother. And if you don't have any tools to deal with that, and you're not expressing it to people you feel safe with, you'll just keep going with a smiling face, nodding head, and that negative Spotify playlist is just going around and around in circles because you haven't let anybody into what's happening.
Yeah, okay. Man, wow, yeah, all right. Yep. You're going to be talking to Campbell, who's involved with the group as well. Afternoon, Campbell, how are you?
Oh, not too bad, mate. How are you?
Good, good, good.
That's good. Hey, Rob, was this trauma, this underlying issue that you had, was it to do with childhood trauma as well as like hereditary and stuff?
Absolutely, and I addressed that too. I've addressed that on multiple interviews and in my forums, is that along the Shop Road journey, weird things started to happen to me, and in my mind, I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I chatted to a friend, and a friend said, hey, you know how you're opening up stuff around the country and maybe something has opened up in your own past again? And I went, oh. So thanks to Mike King, who saw that I was doing, because Mike King helped me on my journey. I was doing the Shop Road journey. He saw that I was looking a bit fatigued from photos of me with communities.
Mm-hmm.
And he kindly shouted me a session with his shrink.
Nice.
So I went back for a therapy session. And although he didn't solve my problems, And once again, he's somebody I'm not related to that I could open up some questions.
Yeah.
And I had memories of being molested, but I thought, that, this is a strange thing, this is a coping mechanism. I thought I was holding these memories for someone else.
Oh, true.
But they were mine.
Far out.
Yeah, it's amazing, so, what the mind can do to protect ourselves, isn't it?
Absolutely, Lara. Absolutely. So I didn't know that. I know this is strange, and I didn't know that.
It's not as strange as you thought it was,
having a session with the shrink, he didn't solve my problems, but what it was a relief to talk to somebody I was not related to and who wasn't judging me.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah.
And was supporting you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I get a lot of that with, I talk to a few people in that, and they always say, you know, I think I should speak to my family, but it's not always the easiest person to speak to, your family. Strangers seem to, it rolls off the chest a bit easier.
Absolutely, brother. And I say this to all cultures, all religions. Sometimes you have to step out of the Porangi River, the Porangi crazy family river, to get the external help you deserve.
Yeah, that hidden history that no one talks about.
Correct, brother. And we don't know how far back it goes. We actually don't know how deep that river is.
Interesting. And so what you dealt with the... when you spoke to Mike King's friend or whatever,
shrink therapist,
did they did it make a big difference to your show, or did you feel different, or what?
What it did was opened up the door, because I've had therapy before that, because of, you know, being shot, bro. had a couple of years of that. I already had some tools, but it actually started to make me shaky again, mentally and spiritually.
Yeah.
So. Also, I knew I had to tell somebody I trusted in my circle. One of them is my first cousin, Clint. Okay. My cousin, Clint, who I really love and trust. And I thought, hey, cuz, I had to see a shrink again, and this has come up. And my cousin, because I trust him with my life, he was, like, really caring, and he said, well, you're a handful of other cousins who've said something similar to me.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, this murky jigsaw puzzle starts to come more clear.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hmm.
And so I realised that I'm not the only one. When you think you're the only one, there's all the shame, guilt and failure around it.
And that's so what this talk and all that's about.
You realise, actually, there's other stuff that hasn't been dealt with or illuminated.
Yeah, unless we talk about it, we can't heal from it, eh?
Absolutely, brother. And it's still an ongoing thing. And and I always say to no matter, I do presentations in prisons, military bases. Yep. Same message, man. Crying is better than dying.
Yeah, mate. Tough silence image has got to go, eh? Silence isn't working.
Silence is violence, brother.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said.
Yeah.
And I have seen Clint on your documentary that's it's on demand on Māori television at the moment.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so. I'm catching up with him after my meeting. We're going to have something to eat together and just catch up because he's busy, busy, busy.
Oh, nice. And when you travel to communities like ours, you bring a kaitiaki. Is Clint one of your kaitiaki?
Clint is one of my kaitiaki. I've got 5 to choose from.
Oh, brilliant.
Nice. I've got 5, and they're all for different. So if I go to prisons and military bases, communities, teachers' conferences. So I'm bringing in a very dear friend of mine who's one of my key, in my top 3, and his name is Tongaroa Emil. And Tongaroa, he's been in the most... in the most intensive environment that I've been in thus far, and I was in Paremonemo, maximum security prison unit. So I trust that brother with my whole life.
Is
it different talking to, like, the response you get from the police and then, you know, the prisons? Is there a difference, or is it just the same support or hate, whatever?
It's same but different, brother.
Yeah.
It's same but different.
All supportive, though?
Their problems are same but different. Everyone is having an human experience regardless of their status, their culture, their religious beliefs, or their past.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I just thought the police might, or either, might just be not so open with coming forward in the forum afterwards and stuff like that.
Oh, look, it's great. I love it when police turn up in uniform or out of uniform.
Yeah.
Because it's not about the police being bad people.
No.
It's about somebody having a mental, spiritual breakdown and getting the police involved. So a lot of police, some police are trying to get me to present to their teams.
Awesome.
Because what it does, it helps them look at how to identify and how to approach somebody having a mental breakdown, because they're all about confinement.
Yeah, yep.
So they might have to relook at their strategies.
Yeah.
And also, what are their strategies within their own workplace to deal with the immense trauma they're dealing with daily?
Yeah, the immense trauma.
All of that, brother. Yep. And that's why I get invited onto military bases to have a, it's a safe space. Whatever's shared on base stays on base.
Yep, cool. Mm. Yeah, and that's awesome.
Yeah, to be similar here too, you know, we had to deal in our community with a few different suicides over the last few months, and of course the first people there are our volunteer firefighters too, you know, so it's, it goes all across that, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, brother. And I presented at one fire station in the Hawke's Bay, but it was for the entire community. But they were right behind it. Mm. And, yeah, just what you said, I've got friends who are firefighters. They're called out to extreme situations. That, far out, you know. Yeah. Mm. Police, ambulance, fire department, for sure, deployed every day.
Yep. Yeah, and they say that with every suicide, there's a ripple effect affecting 100 people. But I think in a community like ours, it's much bigger.
Yeah,
I agree. Mm. I totally agree. Yeah. I see it in smaller, isolated communities.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. And so I want to get back to the start of where you started the Shotbro show. So you were, you know, you'd, I guess, you know, like you say, you went to a couple of therapists and things like that, and you hooked up with some people who you could trust, like you say. And how'd you go about identifying these people? Because I feel like it's something that, a lot of people find it difficult to trust other people sometimes. I mean, how do you go about
Absolutely.
That, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Brother, it took me 7 years to create what I'm doing now.
Mm. Mm.
7 years to be mentally, physically, spiritually ready to hold space for myself and community. So I had a lot of help.
Yeah.
Now, when I was rock bottom, I was below rock bottom. I was in hospital with my guts cut wide open, multiple surgeries, trying to find the bullets. I was all through the news. I was vilified as a maniac. without context, I was headlined.
Media are good at that.
So people stood up for me when I didn't think I deserved to be stood up for. So when shit hits the fan like that, bro, this, and Mike King and I discussed this on the journey, it was like, you realize who your real friends are.
Yeah, and they come from surprising places sometimes, don't they?
Absolutely, Lara. I was so surprised where they came from out of nowhere to support me. It actually brought tears to my eyes.
Wow.
Basically, I cried because where I was at the time, I was like, why do you care about me? I'm not worth it.
Mm-hmm. And these are people you already knew or just like acquaintances?
Strangers.
Or strangers, eh?
Some were strangers and some were acquaintances from afar who became my friends. And some friends who I thought were my friends took off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Which might not necessarily be their intention, but maybe they're, you know, struggling too and they couldn't deal with, you know, sort of helping you out because they were struggling with their own issues.
Oh, absolutely, brother. You know, it took a long time to figure that one out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The right people turn up at the right time, eh?
Yeah, and it's really humbling.
Yeah.
Because when you're in that dark mental place of distress, and some people are living it every day, I've heard some people go, you can look at them and they said, I'm in an outdoor prison with fresh air.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so creating those safe spaces is what Lara's and her amazing team are doing every day, and what I get invited to collaborate with around the country in Australasia.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone thinks they're alone when it's happening to them. If we talked about it more, then people would be more aware, and you know, how people wouldn't get, you know, to the state you got and get help a bit quicker, or just not feel as down because they're not alone.
Oh, absolutely, brother. And also, our pride keeps us sort of like distance from those doorways of help.
Yep, yep. And family
not
too.
Me. Yeah, family.
Yeah.
And going back to that thing about safe people, like I share this everywhere. I've got a tight three, like a front row. Of our rugby team, tight three meaning three people that I have nominated that I trust with my life, that I can call or text anytime, night or day, if I'm not feeling good.
Yeah.
And I encourage people to form a tight three. On occasion, I hear people go, I don't have a tight one.
Yeah.
And I said, in your circle, they, yeah. And I said, apologies, but it sounds like you've got a shit circle.
Yeah.
That's a common thing, though, brother. Like, I've seen a few interviews in that around the world about people, you know, sort of reaching out and stuff, and they did an interview of members of the public, men. And they said, who did you talk to when things are down? And they all just said, no one. Got no one, mate. You know?
Yeah, well, that's... And I sometimes I go, well, here's my number.
Yeah, brother.
And I annoy them for a month, a week, or however long they put up with me.
Yeah.
until they get sick of me.
Awesome. We all need to take a leaf from your book, brother.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm still learning, brother, and the learning and the healing is ongoing.
Yeah. But at least it's healing, eh?
Absolutely, brother, 100.
Yeah.
100.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep. So we're on a mission to start the talk around mental health and just normalize the conversation, and also to just bring it to light that everybody has to work with their mental health and work at keeping it healthy. You know.
Yeah, and without judgment, that's the key, and it's hard for family members to listen with somebody in mental distress without judgment.
Yeah, and because.
I heard a funny way it was put in one of my forums in Putaruru. Someone said, how does my family know to flick my switch so easily? And another person replied, because they installed it.
How to flick that switch, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, and we know how to react.
Quite right there, yeah.
That talking to the family thing about your problems, too, it's a bit of... problem with my family history. You know, I'm Scottish, and we're just taught not to, you know, you're a girl, or you're a, you know, and people don't talk about their problems. And I know it's the same in the Māori, a lot of the Māori families, and getting over that is, you know, don't talk to strangers or don't talk to anyone about your problems. It's just again, silence isn't working. Eh? It's just the statistics.
Those old facts are actually mythologies that don't work.
Yeah, for sure.
And they've been keeping us sick.
Yep,
multiple
that's right.
cultures
yep.
for generations.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's and I think it's especially in our rural communities, I think, Rob, as well.
Yeah.
Because I guess
it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. And, you know, when I meet farmers who come and watch shop, right, they're like, shit, are we allowed to talk about this shit aloud?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Whoa, that's wow. Right. And also, I get feedback saying, and for my Samoan and Polynesian brothers, they go, we're used to seeing funny tough, not funny vulnerable. You're freaking us out, bro.
That's right, mate. Yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
it is a good thing. And it's just giving, I know this, it's like, especially for males, men are looking for permission from other men to heal.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. And what's some examples of that, would you say, Rob?
Examples as in
men looking to other men. I mean, because that's kind of, you know, like you say, there's a lot of people you talk to, especially as a male, it's difficult to bring this stuff up, right? Because there's a whole stigma about, oh, you'll be right, mate. You know, toughen up, all that.
That's what we've got to change, Craig.
Yeah, that's our mission.
It is changing.
It is changing.
It is slowly changing. Some clubs. So I present it at some rugby clubs, for the rugby club and the community.
Yeah.
And once again, it's just hearing somebody who's standing in their truth. Not being an expert, not hiding behind a textbook. It's just saying someone standing in their truth who's
telling their story.
Put it down in an even simpler as someone needs to know that you understand what shit looks like and you are on the journey of figuring it out.
That's right, yeah.
Just boil it right down to that.
Yeah, man.
And so as soon as men in particular go, this is a great compliment I get from tough males. And, you know, a lot of people say nice things afterwards. I've got a lot of tools and now me and my husband and the kids got something. When tough males come up to me, they say quietly, well, I thought this was going to be all shit, mate, but it wasn't.
Mate,
that's a massive compliment from the brothers.
That's a door opening.
Different tough backgrounds.
I'm all about that myself, mate. I've struggled all my life and had drug issues and been a heroin addict for like 15 years and 20 years on the methadone. And I've changed my life around. And
amazing.
Cheers, brother. And I had a few suicide attempts along the way. And I'm all about talking, and I'd talk to strangers, I'd talk to anyone. I came on the radio, tell my story, you know, I just want to you know, promote like what you're saying. You know, guys have got to talk, and the more that talk, the less they'll feel isolated and vulnerable. So, we've got to keep the talk up, eh?
It gives permission.
And, Rob, I just want to acknowledge you sharing that right now, because already I know people are listening and their houses go, oh, shit, I thought everyone's perfect. I thought everybody's Superman and Superwoman. Sometimes that mythology also builds up in our heads when we're deep in dark depression.
Yep. Cheers, mate. I hear you. Means a lot.
Yeah, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, and it gives other people permission to be honest as well, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, you're right on it right there, Lara. It absolutely does. And if not then, so it happened with me, Mike King helped me on my journey in 2011. And so what he did with another mate of his called Boris Sogratov, two amazing males, is they were vulnerable and opened up to me at two different times. And I was in awe because I'd never heard that before.
Yeah, brother. Yep, sure.
But I wasn't ready to stand up and start talking about that openly. But later on when I was ready, I realised where the doorway was because two men showed me where it was.
Yeah, mate, that's the way. Plants the seed, eh?
Yeah, nice.
Yes, that's brother. And that's all we're doing, planting seeds.
Yeah, if you see it, you can do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you've never seen it and you've never heard it, you go, oh, well, it sounds like some great mythology happening
that's
over
right.
there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, normalising it, the talk is the main goal, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And normalising it so it's not so heavy.
Yeah.
It takes practice, though. You know, all of this takes practice.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. I hear you.
Yeah. It is heavy, but man, it's day to day as well, isn't it? You know, I mean, like you say, everyone goes through it. No one's Superman, Superwoman. You know, everyone's got their own little thing. Yep.
Yeah, and it's just refreshing to hear Superman and Superwoman say it aloud sometimes.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. I listened to a few things on radio about this kind of stuff, and on Instagram there's a thing called a motivational. And it's a lot of Mike Tyson clips and stuff like that on it, and ex-rappers and that have had struggled and come back, and philosophical, heartwarming, motivational stuff, mate. Real powerful. Mike Tyson is working on the same page as us, and he's doing his business.
Tyson Fury, who came out very openly on his build back to becoming, on his build up and come back to being the heavyweight champion.
Yeah,
of talking about driving in his flash Lamborghini at 1,000 miles an hour, looking to go head first into a tree.
Yeah, mate, that's right, mate. Yeah, and he does a lot of talks about just feeling you know. You're part of a bigger project, but you know, we're not all isolated. Everyone's going through the same thing. Doesn't matter who they are, how rich they are, everyone has struggle days, you know, and usually the most powerful have the most, because they've got the most stress, the most, you know, not the most, but a lot, you know. They have to cope with a lot.
I see it, I hear it.
Yeah, mate. Cheers, brother.
We're so excited that you're coming to our community. Just like a really amazing event that we've been supported by Te Whatu Ora to bring you to our community and the Huntly community. So we just feel really blessed. And it's been really nice going along the journey of bringing this to fruition, because it just had a real synchronicity about it. Myself and Teresa from the medical centre, the Kaya Whina at the medical centre, put in an application for funding at the beginning of the year to Te Whatu Ora, and we got turned down, and then through just connections with Eddie Niha from Te Whatu Ora, and mentioning your name that we would really like to bring you to our community, he just said straight away, if you can get that guy to come to the Waikato, I will fund it. And so that's how we got the funding. So it's just had this nice synergy the whole way, people coming on board and getting behind it. So I think it's just going to be fabulous.
Yep.
Hey, Lara, I will just thank you for that, and also I'm glad it opened the door, didn't close it on you. but also, just the way that our interactions on emails and talking over the phone, it really highlights to me the passion and the heart that you have to help your community. So I want to thank you, and I haven't even met you face-to-face yet, so I just want to thank you for all the work you do with your heart on your sleeve.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, Lara does an excellent job around the community, community well-being connector, and yeah, very passionate and very
good at her job,
and good at her job. Yes,
I have no doubt.
And so, in the show itself, I guess Rob, which you can catch on midday Wednesday at the school for the rangatahi and the parents.
It's the 4th of November. Oh, no, sorry.
That's the 1st of November. Yes, yeah, I forgot that last time as well.
And that one's for the school community, yeah.
And parents can come along to that too, hey, Lara?
Yes. Yep.
And then on Saturday, the 4th of November, or at 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock, yep.
You're gonna be at the school yet again. What can people expect from it, Rob?
This has also been told to me, so I've actually put it on my advertising when I go into communities. Funny, dark, real, educational.
Funny, dark, real, educational.
Yep.
Nice mix.
So, and that's the way, it's like, the way that I do Shopper is the way a whaikōrero at a tangi or Māori funeral is, because it's so heavy, if the minister's got the right flavour on that time, it's funny.
Yeah.
He puts a lot of humour in, so you can process the grief.
Yeah. Yeah, got to balance
and
it out.
And so Shopper is strategically made over 7 years that it goes funny, dark, meaning funny, meaning another form of light.
Yep.
Yeah.
Putting humour so we can breathe and process what we just felt. So it's strategically made like that. And so the forum is also there to hold space, and so the community know that they are held. There is support on hand if they need it.
Yep.
And food is a key essential factor. Especially for in Māori communities, especially after tangi, after funerals, we always have food, and so food is also the connector for communities afterwards. For those who don't wish to share in the forum, they like to share over some food and get the help they need over that.
Yeah, it's when the talking conversation, real conversation happens around the food, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, but you'll be surprised what happens in the forum.
Yeah, it'll be
interesting. You'll be very, very surprised
we've heard.
Who shares.
Mm. Yeah, cool. Yeah, looking forward to it, mate.
Mm. Same.
Yeah.
Choice.
Yeah, and don't worry about the food. We've got plenty of tucker organised.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yeah. And we're doing a hauora hikoi, hikoi for hauora, I should say, before that, at 12 o'clock. So you may be in town. You may even be on that one, Rob, maybe even. That's before your event at the school. I suppose you'll be getting ready, but you might catch it.
Oh, yeah. We have a two-hour setup and two-to-three-hour setup. So, we'll suss it. If I can, I will. But they'll all see me anyway. I'll be there to support in any way I can.
That's right.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And, it's all free, folks. So all you got to do is turn up either for the hikoi or for Rob's show, either or both, whatever you're feeling. And that's, for the community, that's Saturday, the 4th of November. At 2 o'clock and at the school on the 1st of November from midday, and parents welcome to that as well as anyone who's not at the area school.
No, that's just for the school, that one.
Just for the school. Yeah. Right. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. But the hikoi is starting at 12 o'clock, so you can dress up in orange or green. Orange is suicide awareness and green is making a stand for mental health. Students are currently making up a whole lot of signs and billboards. We're going to have some music on the hikoi, and we're just going to walk to start the talk around the three bridges.
Yeah, just
love it.
Just to clear that up, just for anyone who doesn't speak te reo, hikoi means walk in Māori. So, it's
hauora.
Hauora is what it means.
Health, well-being.
It's just so I wasn't aware of what it meant, so I thought I'd clear it up, just say walk to start the talk and all that sort of stuff. But, cheers, brother.
Awesome, all right. Was there anything else you guys want to add?
No, it's been great talking to you, brother.
Awesome.
I'm so grateful to you all for what you're doing individually. I'm just really grateful to meet other beams of light on my own journey. It helps reinvigorate me as well.
Ditto, brother. Ditto.
Yeah, and don't forget to bring your surfboard, Rob. You've got a couple of days to go and try that out again.
Gosh. I might need some personal coaching and therapy on that.
We've got those, mate.
Yeah. Bound to be someone around to give you that one. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, awesome. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
All right, man. Anything else? Any parting words you want to say to the audience today, Rob?
I'm grateful to be alive and... you're not crazy, you're hurting. That's all I want to say.
Yep.
And you deserve the help you need.
Yeah, awesome. Nice. Yeah, awesome. Lovely words, Rob. And, I'm really looking forward to you coming, as I know Lara and Campbell are, and a lot of the community. We're just handing out some posters as it goes just before this, and And people were very enthusiastic about it. They were all saying, "Oh, really? Okay, yeah." So I'm expecting a bit of a turnout. So yeah, it's going to be we're all looking forward to you turning up here, Rob. And thanks again for coming on the show. And really looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks or so. A couple of weekends? A couple of weekends, Larry?
Yeah.
Not far. Looking forward to this. It's the first time I've walked my kaupapa into Whangaroa and grateful to you all, and to Laura in particular and her team.
Cool.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks very much, Robin. Enjoy the beautiful north, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Always. All right, take care.
Yeah, take it easy, man. See ya.
See ya.
Ka kite.
All right, folks. Here we are. That was Rob Makarako there with having a talk about his things coming up. So that's awesome. As I say, Campbell and I are running around handing out posters today that Lara's made up. So they'll be all going out soon. And I think what I'm going to do now is we'll have a song by another local, wasn't she? And according to Once Upon a Time, Lara, yes. With Pūria Nei, and we'll come back and talk to Lara and Campbell about the group and other things after this. There we are. There was Anna Connington there with her song called Pūria Nei. I hope you enjoyed that one. And now I'm going to go through some. Let me start that again, folks. I've just been prattling on for a good while, haven't I?
Prattling's right.
Without the microphones on. So here we go again. Community House, there's Kai up the road there. Community radio, gotta love it. And and so that's free Kai for everyone from 12 to 2. And I hope you can go up there a bit earlier if you want to help out with that one. And you go up for a free Kai and connect with the community. It's a good thing. And also there is the Raglan Horticultural Society Flower and Vegetable Show in the Town Hall on Saturday, November the 4th, the same day as our as the Hikoi and Rob's show for the community. And that's entries are you can enter on the day, and that's from 9 till 10:30, and judging from 11 till 11:30, and open to the public from 12:30, and prize giving at 2 o'clock for that one. And there's a floral arts section, and there's various there's vegetables and another flower, sweet peas, and there's also a children's section. So that's put on by the Raglan Horticulture Society. Yes, I think it was about 3 weeks ago I had Jeff on from the Raglan Horticulture Society talking about that. So it's another thing happening. And then, of course, straight over the entranceway here is the Fyngaroa Environment Centre. They do a great job. And then they've got a tool library, of course, open, and Araha seed stand out the front, which is free seeds. You can go and help yourself, and you can take a little punnet and some soil and start growing your own veggies and things like that. The seeds are all supplied by local growers. Another great initiative over there. And also this weekend is the Raglan Arts Weekend. Yes, indeed. And there's going to be heaps of people in town, probably, and a lot of stuff happening. And I think, again, it's in the Town Hall Friday night. There's going to be The Hatch, one of the other DJs from the station, Caleb's helping organise that one, and that's all the emerging artists, and they're having a bit of a thing Friday night, and then I guess you can pick up the schedule for that or something like that around town. So
it's the map and list of all the artists.
Yes, there we go, the map and the list of all the artists. That's all happening. And where do you get that, Lara? Do you know? I suppose the iHub Centre, or I guess?
The Art Centre. Art Centre, but I think they're dotted around town.
Okay, yeah. And so, yeah, get into that. We did a couple of things last weekend with that. It was massive. And, yeah, a lot of people in town, so that's great. And, of course, Marve's permaculture course is happening out of Harkier on Phillips Road on Saturday as well. It most likely sold out, but there might be a spot left there or two. And I think I'll leave it at that for my public service announcements and Lara. No, Campbell.
Yeah, I think Craig is going to put on a song, and it's by an artist called Kenichi, and he's a man who's struggled in life with addiction and a bit of jail and stuff like that, a few different addictions, and he's changed his life around a bit because he had a daughter, and he sings about it in the song here, is a story, and it's sort of along the same lines of what we're talking about, and just... getting people to talk about their own issues so other people feel that they're not isolated and not alone, not crazy, and everyone struggles. And just to say there's the odd bit of swearing in this, but the message totally outweighs a few cuss words. So I apologise if anyone is offended by this. Just turn your radio off for 5 minutes. And it is a powerful message that needs to be heard. And also... come along on the 4th of November. All members of the public are encouraged to come along to show their support for spreading out the talk. And, you know, it's a talk to start the walk to start the talk about suicide and make it a non, you know, hidden issue and break the silence, you know, because everyone's been silent for years and it's not working, right? So we'll start talking and, bring the awareness up, and hopefully Craig puts us... song on, I think, after Lara has a few words.
Yes, indeed. Yep. Thanks for that, Campbell.
So the Hikoi for Health, just want to give a shout out to Grace Mindoro, ex-head girl of Raglan Area School. This was actually her idea. She brought it to a group of us, the Suicide Awareness Group, saying that she was really concerned about the rangatahi well-being within our community and we needed to take action and be doing something. So November the 4th is just the day after Gumboot Friday, I Am Hope. So this is our version of bringing that awareness and getting us walking and talking and connecting and making a stand against mental health. And just bringing it to the table, the conversation, and just getting those support people around everybody.
Very nice, Lara. All right, anything else to add to that?
No, that's it. Everyone come along to this walk, eh? We've got to show our support and show the people that are struggling that, you know, we support them. So come along.
And then, of course, the Shop Bro Show, which is going to be magnificent. Yes. Like, you know, he comes with really high credentials. He's worked with Taika Waititi. He's won awards for Māori comedy and humour on the stage. And then he's telling his story in his way, and that's through drama and action on the stage. So, yeah, it's going to be really powerful.
It sure is, yep. So that's Saturday the 4th of November from 12 o'clock is the Hikoi for Her Order, or the walk to start the talk. And And then following that at 2 o'clock at the school, and the walk also will start from the school, eh, Lara?
Yes.
Yep. So, yep, now, meet up at the school about midday, or if you can't make it to that, yeah, certainly by 2 o'clock for Rob Muckadoggle's talk. And, yeah, while I'm on here, I just want to say thanks very much to Lara for organising all of these things, and I know how much effort it takes to organise stuff, so, yeah, well done, Lara. And Teresa and Betty.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep, Teresa, Betty, Craig, Campbell, part of a really passionate group. Couldn't do it on my own, haven't done it on my own. I don't want to take credit for everybody. It's actually been just a community of passionate people around mental health that have come together and working together, and, you know, it's always nice to share the journey.
Absolutely. And, yeah.
Yeah, she's being humble there. She actually does organise everything. And,
no,
yeah,
big
thank you to Lara for being a trooper.
Yeah, and, yes.
Teresa at the medical centre and Betty at the school. Counsellor at the Raglan Area School.
Yes,
very
yes.
Key people doing a lot of mahi.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yep.
And so, yep. And, so come along, folks. Yep. And, look forward to seeing you all there. And thank you very much for coming to the studio today, Lara.
Thank you. Been fun.
Good, good, good. And thank you, Cam, for coming in as well.
Yep, cool as, mate. My pleasure. And you're going to play Kenichi, yeah?
Kenichi, yeah. Kenichi daughter. All right. Kenichi, yeah.